Speaking of the love of God, Jesus told us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not, the next verse, very interesting, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so, yeah, the world is already condemned, right? The world is already in the state of sin because death passed upon all men when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, Romans 5. And so Jesus came to save us in and then out of, if you will, our sinful state into his glorious kingdom. And then it continues. He that believeth, verse 18, John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, no longer condemned, no longer under divine condemnation. When we're in Christ, there's only two kind of people today walking the earth, and that would be those who are under the condemnation of God because they're still in sin, and then those who are in the grace of Christ, saved into God's eternal kingdom through Christ alone. Verse 18, John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten, that's an essential salvific word, he was born of a virgin, begotten of the Father in Mary's womb. The new Bibles, the fake new so-called Bibles, have removed the word begotten. Now, if you don't realize that that's an attack on God the Father and his redemption in Christ, then you don't have a revelation of what that word begotten means in connection with the prophecy of Isaiah, who told us that he would be born of a virgin, the only one ever. Isaiah 7, 14 and 15. He was born of a virgin. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it had to be that he was born through a virgin, because otherwise his father would have been a sinner like Adam. And his blood that he was ultimately to shed on Calvary's cross for our sins would have been contaminated. So the Father had to be the Father, if you will, of Jesus in his incarnation into the flesh, John 1. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. So that's a huge, that's a make or break word right there. God is with us, Emmanuel. And that couldn't happen without the Father being the Father of Jesus and inseminating Mary so that she could bring forth the Son of God to redeem mankind with his perfect, precious, sinless, divine blood on the altar of the cross. So those that are under condemnation are under condemnation because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And notice the context here. God loved the world. Some people say God doesn't love everybody. Well, then why did he send his only begotten Son to die for them? God loves everybody. You don't have to feel like sinners are our enemy. They're not our enemy. Their sin is their own enemy. That's their worst enemy, as it was with us, right? Nobody else's fault but our own. So remember these two things, as we often like to bring into our remembrance, that God is holy. Not only holy, but holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation 4:8. And God is love. These are both intrinsic parts of his divine nature. These aren't just attributes. God is many other things, but remember, he's holy. And then the Bible says in 1 John 4:8 and 16, God is love. So God so loved the world. Sometimes we feel like we got to come down hard on folks because of their error and their sin. And yet we got to realize they're in the kingdom of darkness because they have not believed on the name of the Son of God yet, this passage says, but they can believe on him. And what reflection are we giving them? That doesn't mean there's not a time to be very hard with the truth on people, but let it be the wrath of God coming through his word and not the wrath of man, because the Bible says the wrath of man, hello, man. In the Bible, we have the wrath of God, the wrath of Satan, and the wrath of man. And the scripture says in James 1:20, the wrath of man, it worketh not the righteousness of God. So may God regulate when we are to be angry. Jesus flipped tables in his holy anger. In Mark 3, Jesus looked upon the Pharisees. Notice who he was angry with. He looked upon the Pharisees with anger. Matthew 23, Jesus displayed righteous indignation, but To who? To the false prophets who pretended to represent him by misrepresenting him and exploiting the people. But with rank sinners, that's not always the case. So may God give us wisdom and temper us and lead us. Lord, do it in Jesus' name in every situation. Another example would be in Acts 13, where the Apostle Paul was called in to minister to the deputy of the country he was in, Sergius Paulus, and a sorcerer named Elymas jumped in between and sought to deflect the preaching of the gospel, who sought to hinder the preaching of the gospel to the deputy who called for Paul to minister to him. And in verse 10, Paul said, Acts 13:10, and said, "O full of subtlety," in other words, you're full of deceit, he tells this false prophet, Elymas, "and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And then the Lord blinded him on the wings ensuing after this harsh rebuke with righteous indignation coming from the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 13. But remember, a paramount biblical truth here, God so loved the world. Now, there are those who run around and say, and justify their anger against sinners. Some of these street preachers are a good example, because they say, well, Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. But notice, God is angry with them. He didn't tell you to be angry with them. Hello, hello. God didn't say, you go out there and scream at the wicked, be mad at them, insult them. And so remember, again, the paramount truth that God is holy, 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 and God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us while we were yet in sin, Romans 5:7-9. And then he wants to use you to reach those who are still in sin that he came and died for and already paid the full price for their sins. And so when you meditate upon the scripture that says that God is angry with the wicked every day, Psalm 7:11, it seems like that would mean he is angry that they have not taken him up on his offer when he has called them to repent and come and receive the salvation of Christ. Now, recently I've been sharing with Catholics, and this would go for anybody in any religion, because all religions are corrupted and they are the tool of Satan to keep you from God while claiming to be the only way to God. But in the end of the day, as I've been expressing to Catholics recently, all you have is religion. You go to bed every night with guilt and shame because your sins aren't forgiven, because nobody can forgive your sins except Jesus Christ. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Matthew 9:6. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Stop for a minute. Who has power on earth to forgive sins? The Son of Man. Matthew 9:6. No man can forgive our sins. You got to go direct to God. And so all your religion is there to do in the kingdom of Satan is to go ahead and keep you from God while pretending and claiming falsely to be the only way to God. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm not a way. I'm the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And how about 1 Timothy 2:5? There is one God and one mediator. Somebody break out the calculator for me, please. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. So remember, one of the ways we can minister to the lost who are trapped in their religion and defending it is to say, maybe give them your testimony of how Jesus saved you. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You could share with them, perhaps, or consider it, that you were in religion. That's my testimony. I was caught up in religion, Catholic religion. No one in my family lineage in any direction except myself and my son, and now my parents, have been born again, saved. It's all been Catholic, trapped in a system, a pagan, idol-worshiping system that still leaves you dead in your trespasses and sins. You're still in sin. No man can forgive your sins. And that's exactly why for over 2 decades, I went to bed every night, beloved saints, in darkness, shame and guilt of sin. That's the wages of sin. And it wasn't until one night I was invited to go hear the gospel. And I heard the simple gospel that Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of the world. And that includes me and you. That's the good news. And it's good news. Why? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty and worthy of death and eternal damnation. But the scripture says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through, not religion, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's why Jesus says, come direct. I've already paid for all your sins. Come and dine with me now and eternally. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's where sin brings you. You're laden and heavy laden. You're weighed down. You're guilty. You're shamed. That's the wages of sin. That's what you get while you're in sin. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, as opposed to sin's heavy yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. That's what the body of Christ is doing right now. The body of Christ. You want to know who the body of Christ is? Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit, that's a capital S, Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit, and the bride. Are you part of the bride? Let's see. Come. Notice, and the Spirit and the bride say what? What is the true remnant of Christ elect saying? Come. They're inviting sinners to come and let him that heareth come, come to Jesus. Like Jesus said, come unto me. Jesus didn't say, go find a religion. No. Jesus didn't say, go to this religion out of Rome that I ordained. No. Jesus said, you come to me. You're not going to go hide behind Mary and the false Catholic Church and the Eucharist where you pretend like you're actually eating, cannibalizing Jesus. No. You come directly to me. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. There you go. Calvinism is completely crushed right here. And whosoever will. You have a personal will, and you exercise that the way you choose. God made you that way. And it's going to result in your eternal damnation or eternal glory into heaven. And whosoever will, we've got free will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. Take of the water of life freely. Dip your cup in the well, in the flow of heaven's river that God has provided of his mercy and love through the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. I'll save you. I'll wash you clean. And ultimately, every tear is going to be wiped from your eye. And both of them, all of the anguish, the shame, and the things that you have suffered, that you have brought upon yourself and otherwise. Revelation 21:4, as we come in for a landing, saints, and God shall wipe away all, not some. This is in glory when his saints are brought into glory with him. Notice this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. All of the toil and the anguish and the things we've suffered in this life are going to one day soon be what? Passed away behind us forever with clear conscience in the presence of God. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now we could just sit there and meditate on that, couldn't we? All things are going to be new. For the righteous, eternal contempt and damnation lies ahead for the wicked in a place of incarceration called hell, which is later going to be cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation 20. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Remember, Jesus said it is finished. In other words, the whole price, the full and complete price for your sin has been paid by my blood in full. Now he says, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. We've got an inheritance waiting on us, saints. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But, uh-oh. We got a separation between those who believed on Christ for the remission of their sins. They admitted it. They settled out of court. Because the previous chapter, Revelation 20, beginning in verse 11 through 15, he talks about how the books are going to be opened. The books of the Bible and the books of your life, because it's all on record. God sees all sin. God sees all sin all the way into the thoughts and intents of our hearts. God sees all sin, and no one shall escape, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. We get upset because we see people that just get away with crime. But remember this, according to the Bible, seeing the world and everything through kingdom eyes, no one's getting away with anything, you, me, or anybody else. First of all, the wages of their own sin is death in them. They might even go to court, as we see many times, having done heinous crimes and then laughing at the victim's family. Unbelievable. But they got to go back out of that court into that cold, hard jail cell and suffer the most excruciating conviction and conflict and shame in their hearts. That's what we reap from living in sin. But the good news is that we can come unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and receive of the water of his salvation freely today. Notice he says then, in contrast, his blessed saints. Don't you want to be one of those saints? Oh, when the saints go marching in, don't you want to be of that number, it said, the song, right? If not, here's what lies ahead. Here's your future, an eternal future, and it's going to be conscious torment. But the fearful, Revelation 21:8, the cowards, those who didn't love me enough to make a stand for me, to stand in me. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you do not confess me, if you deny me, I will deny you. Are you fearful? Are you bold as a lion? Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. The Apostle Paul, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That ought to be a memory verse for every born-again believer. But the fearful, the cowardly, the timid, those who will not resolve in themselves that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's their Lord, but the fearful and unbelieving, that's a damnable sin right there all by itself. And the abominable, that has to do with sodomites and murderers. Anybody who hates is a murderer in the eyes of God and is on his way to a devil's hell from which he will not escape. And don't you know the racism is raging these days? That people hate folks that just simply have another skin color than them? Jesus said nation would rise against nation. That means ethnic group. That doesn't mean Russia against China. No, he's talking about ethnos, the Greek word. And that's a perfect example of an opportunity to show the love of God, is it not? So, murderers, 1 John 3:14-15, if you hate, you're a murderer in the eyes of God, and you do not have eternal life. It doesn't matter how you claim you go to church and you went to the altar 20 years ago. That doesn't matter. You're living in hate. You have departed from the Lord, and you are in need of repentance. And when you repent, you're going to bring forth the fruit that proves you repented, and that would begin with love. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, etc. So if you don't have love for all men, if you disparage men of any stripe, color, or whatever, you don't have the love of God. You're disparaging God's creation. Okay, murderers. Notice all these classes of sinners. And whoremongers. Going after someone you're not married to and having sex with them. And sorcerers. That would involve everyone that was participated in any way in the COVID scam of 2020. That's pharmakeia is the Greek word. Revelation 18:23. You operated in witchcraft and you prescribed and administered poison into the lifeblood of millions. And you are in need of repentance before it's too late. And idolaters. That's anybody who has anything or anyone, including in beginning with self, idolatry, before the Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me is the first commandment of God in the 10, in the Decalogue. And all, not some, but all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 2:9, where the apostle writes the following, but as it is written, I hath not seen, don't you love this? I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. He can't even conceive what lies ahead for the righteous. The things which God hath prepared for who? For them that love him. You either love yourself or you love God. That's really the only two kind of people they are in the earth. Jesus commanded us to love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that doesn't mean just when things are going your way. You got to choose like Job to say, Lord, it doesn't matter what you allow to happen to me. He had just lost all of his children, 10 children, and his wife was mocking him and telling him to turn away from God. But Job declared, though he slay me, yet will I trust. I will worship and love him. Job 13:15. Is that how we act in trials and seasons of testings and purgings? I used to not act real good during those times. I can tell you that. Nothing to hide. But when I started learning that God isn't going to bring me any further until I put my feet down and say, Lord, I'm going to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, good or bad. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, please give us the resolve, the deep-seated love that Job had for you, Lord. We don't have that, but we want that. Let us be a man after your own heart, O God, like David, who said that my soul follows hard after thee. No matter what he suffered, good or bad, he said, I'm going to have a heart after you. My soul follows hard after you. My heart is fixed, O God, he said, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give you praise. Let this be deeply seated in us, Lord. Cleanse us to the core of our being. Oh, we need it so bad, Lord. The iniquity, the darkness in us must be vanquished by your light and love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.